ubc.aiesec@gmail.com. That's ubc.aiesec@gmail.com. It's up to you.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Welcome to Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks, the full hour show on disabled community. Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show. I'm your host, Kelly, and across from me is Michael Rubin.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or wherever you are on the podcast. So, what's on our today's topic for today?
Well, as we know, the Autism Month is coming up pretty quick. And I had the opportunity to speak with the BC representative for Autism Speaks, Janet Anderson. And we had a pretty nice conversation in a coffee shop in White Rock, which is pretty close to where I live at. And she had a few appointments over that way. So it was becoming difficult to get her in here by... I went to have her in here before April 2nd. For the actual Autism Day, so, yeah.
So, we're talking about with, what, Janet Anderson?
Janet Anderson, yes.
Okay. And welcome back to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Networks. We're here today. It's a rather sunny day here in White Rock on location with Janet Anderson of Autism Speaks. And... Janet is the regional walk manager for Autism Speaks, and let's find out a little bit more of what that actually means, and here's Janet.
Hi, well, thanks for having me here. I have the office for the BC province for Autism Speaks Canada, and the walk itself and my title reflects our large event fundraiser for the year that we have in communities throughout the province. But in actuality, I do a lot of resource and awareness programs and marketing and generally represent the society here for the province.
So you're the person that makes sure people knows that Autism Speaks, the awareness person.
Yeah, well, I like to think that I'm the awareness person, but there are a lot of people out in the autism community far more aware than I am, and I've learned a tremendous amount from the family and the service providers over the last year that I've been in this role.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of Autism Speaks, and then we can get into maybe a little bit about what you guys do.
Perfect. Well, we just had an anniversary with our parent organization, which is Autism Speaks, and that was founded in the United States 10 years ago last week by Bob and Susan Wright. And Bob and Susan Wright were like many families when their grandson was diagnosed with autism, and they went out into the community to figure out what that meant and what services and resources were out there, and found that there was minimal and that most that was there was kind of a wide range and scattered, and there wasn't any continuity in the community as a whole to help guide them and help them understand. So they launched an organization that started to do that. It brought together some of the key community groups that were there under their umbrella, and now we are the largest global autism organization in the world for resources and research.
Awesome. That's a pretty good undertaking that you guys have. Wow.
Yeah.
So what is the actual, with all that, you guys had to have a mission for to bring all of you guys together. So how does that work?
Well, and I wanted to add that Bob and Susan Wright, I mean, we're only 10 years old, 9 years in Canada. And one of the things about what Bob and Susan Wright did, they expanded so globally so quickly because Bob is the chairman and the CEO of NBC. So it's a large organization, and they knew how to get the word out. And he has retired. He's still on the board. And so we work very, very, very hard at getting awareness done, which is part of our mission statement with our four pillars. But we want to change the future for all of those who struggle with autism spectrum disorders.
You mentioned four pillars. What do the four pillars look like?
Well, they're four pillars, and they are big ones, but awareness, advocacy, resources, and research.
That is a lot of work for one organization to try to pull off.
Yeah, it is. It is very big. I'm proud to say that we've got a good jump on it. We've launched some very good programs right from early on days, and we've launched some big ones in the last couple of years as well. But really, it's the grassroots of getting down to every family and organization in your own community, and therefore we have our officers represented in every state and virtually almost every province in Canada.
Wow. And I know that you guys are pretty big here in BC because several people have come to me and said, you got to meet Janet. You have to meet Janet. You got to get her on your show.
I think that's just because I talk too much. I probably have too big of a mouth. But no, I'm born and raised here in BC, and I've worked primarily in the nonprofit business for 25 years now. I've worked with some excellent organizations, Variety Club, the Alzheimer's Society. I've learned there's such a diverse community out there, and everybody has a role that they play, and it's learning what that is and how it looks and how I may help them in that area. And so now I'm working with the autism community. I was familiar with it over 20 years ago when I worked with Variety Club, and there has been some growth and help and change, but we got a long way to go still to get this to where it needs to be.
So, I know that you actually said that, I think you said that autism is a spectrum disorder. So, out of that spectrum, who do you guys actually help?
Well, when we say spectrum, and what's happened with autism is we've kind of stepped away from using the word autistic, and that's what general public tends to focus on, is that child or that adult is autistic. And we get these visions of a child prodigy who sits down and plays a song on the piano that they just heard 5 minutes ago, or somebody like Rain Man calculating the numbers. And it's such a diverse disorder that the characteristics cannot be defined by a group. It can be so wide-ranging, with maybe minimal and very, you don't notice anything, all the way up to Asperger's syndrome. So what we often say is that when you meet a person with autism, you've met a person with autism. You have not met the autism community.
I guess that kind of makes sense that everybody is different. They have different abilities within the community and things like that, the same as anything else.
Absolutely, absolutely. When I worked with the Pride Festival for several years as their manager, event manager, you know, it's such a diverse way to look at a group, and there's different organizations and factors and levels in every group. So we try to not define it as one thing, because it's all things.
Okay. So, asking you the question of who and what does autism look like, would be too narrow of a focus. So how should people really think about autism?
I know, and that's the one that was quite a shock when I first started and I was being educated, because I don't come from a social service background. I come from managerial, administrative. I fundraise, I do sponsorship, I do event management, marketing. So I lean towards the service providers in the community and the families to help educate me to this day about what autism looks like and how it is. And so it's just a huge learning curve. So defining it or recognizing it, it is just the community. It is obvious with some that, you know, there might be an autism disorder, but for the whole, I think we just don't know. We just don't know what that looks like. And they're helping me understand that many people I have met through my entire life are on the spectrum. And it's starting to make sense to me. And in previous years,
Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen, and then get riding.
You're listening to the Community Living Show here on the NCAA Radio Networks. This is the hour show. Of course, I'm Kelly. Along with me is Michael. Yep. So, any comments before we start?
The only real comment is, like, these guys really work hard at awareness and putting a real face, or faces, to what autism is. You might actually hear me slip up once and say autistic in there, but when we first started our conversation before the interview, she was pretty adamant and clear about not to use that particular word.
You also had your phone going with the sound over it, so so anyways, we're going to go back to Janet Anderson right now. Enjoy.
Awesome. So are there any other special projects that you guys do that really helps keep those tools available to parents that already have a diagnosis? And I bring that up because I've done daycare myself, and I've had autistic child with it, within my daycare, and I've watched the mother struggle. So, you know, on that website, we'll be able to find all those programs too, to help resources and things like that.
Well, we actually have some excellent organizations that we'd probably refer you directly to. One of them being ACT, which is Autism Community Training, and it's an organization that we fund. We've funded most years, and have granted funding just recently again to them, where they have the list of most of the providers up to the age of six, and can also help define which area you need to talk to and which organization. So definitely, if you got a hold of us or we're on our website, we would end up either helping you directly or referring you to an organization like ACT.
You're listening to the NCRA Network, and this is the Community Living Show. That's wonderful. You guys have a referral program. You're really helping build community that way.
Yeah, and there are a lot of individual organizations in your community, too, that are there to find and to represent what's available right in your neighborhood. So, so we try to, you know, ensure that we're connected with most of them, if not all of them, and help, you know, lead you in that direction.
That's it sounds like you're doing a wonderful job, especially towards the awareness. So can we briefly describe the other three pillars?
We can. Well, advocacy kind of stands, you know, it defines itself in the sense that, you know, it's having a voice for those in the community, the autism community, generally towards government. If you need to get, you know, action, then we work very closely in doing that. And we have done that just recently with a new program that we are launched this year with the federal government called Community Works. And that is a training program for teens with autism, and it starts in junior high school. And we work with other student mentors and behavioral therapists, and we put them in a working environment where we can train and diagnose as to what skills can be used or utilized or enhanced so that we can hopefully move towards an employment area once they're out of school and also looking for their own funding. And then the others, resources and research. Resources are, I've represented with the toolkits, all of those that are there. We definitely have them there for anybody to use. There's everything from getting a haircut. I mean, things that we take for granted every day in our lives can be a major struggle for a family with autism. And autism doesn't go away. It's a lifelong disorder, and so we need to help the families move through the different age groups and work with adults just as closely as we do with children. Research is a, we do fund a tremendous amount of research, and I'm very proud to say that we have launched a program with Google, and it's a $10 million program, and you may have seen something very similar running on commercial ads with Microsoft right now, but it is called the AUT 10K Genome Project. And what has happened is we have one of the most diverse databases of research on children that are adults with data on from the time they were born till their full life. But we've had no software program that has been able to be of depth enough to calculate the data that we have. For one individual, if we printed it out, it would be like 67 stories of paper. So up until the platforms like Cloud were developed, there was no ability to calculate this in a scientific background where we could get enough details. So now Google is developing that with us. And once we get that data into this program, then we are going to open it up to the world scientists and researchers so that they too can help find the missing puzzle pieces as quickly as possible.
It all leads back to finding that one puzzle piece that unlocks our it sounds like it just simply unlocks our brains so we all can understand what's going on in there.
Yeah. Well, and I'm certainly, again, not the expert on autism. I try my best as I'm going through this learning curve to represent best what I know. But one of the things is, yeah, it's we just don't know why that change happens. We have an understanding that it's probably part of the genetic code. That's the kind of research that's showing up now. So we need to progress in a lot of different fields and try to see what that is and to see how we can help work so that, you know, we make it better so that it doesn't become more than it should, that we can help children, you know, move into adulthood with autism and have a productive life and have what, you know, what everybody should have.
It's very true. And it sounds like you guys are well on the road with that. When you're talking about a database that can actually track the lifespan of one person, mm-hmm. I mean, we just simply don't do that in the medical field.
Yeah, and on that note, too, you know, it's actually led by Dr. Shearer, and he's one of the most leading authorities on autism in the world, and he's actually lives in Toronto. So it's actually a Canadian-based program that is being funded by the U.S. and Canada, and, you know, I'm very proud of that as a Canadian, too, to have such a phenomenal program being developed here. And, you know, I think that what's going to happen is all of that information that we've had for years and years and years, we're going to finally understand it more.
Yeah. It's very important, not just for the autistic community, but to the community in general. It's like, I remember saying to somebody, why don't we track things like that over a person's lifespan, and they're like, oh, that's just too expensive. That would be kind of crazy and stupid. But you guys are doing what was once said was crazy, stupid, impossible. You're just proving that it is possible if we really want to make it happen. So congratulations to you guys.
Oh, well,
for
I didn't do it myself, but no, I know. We were very fortunate that, you know, researchers years and years ago decided to do this. And so we do have a very solid grassroots piece of information that we can, you know, clearly work from. But there's other aspects of autism too, you know, being able to create hands-on tools in each community. And we may not do that directly. There are other organizations in each community that will bring school programs or recreational programs to the autism community. The Canucks Autism Network is one. They have wonderful camps and programs in schools. And, you know, and it's groups like them that can apply to us for funding. So we actually fund service providers and families, and our applications are open now. So we welcome all to go on our website and take a look at the outlines and make an application if they feel it fits, and in a year from now we'll award more funding.
You're listening to the NCRA Network, and this is the Community Living Show. So how do you guys, I want to give to autism, so how do I do that?
Well, there's a host of things you can do. Like most nonprofit organizations, you can go directly to our website. You can donate to a general donation. You could register for our walk, which I might add is free. We do welcome all people to come down and join us for the walk. We do ask that you register because we like to get a head count so we have enough, you know, hot dogs or donuts. And, you know, you don't have to fundraise. Of course, you know, we hope that you will. You can donate that way, on monthly giving. All of those programs are available through Autism Speaks Canada website. And there is my contact information as well. And you're welcome to give me a call, and we can chat about what might work best for you.
Nice. So you're talking about donation through the walk. Is it you sponsor a person to walk so far, or how does that work?
Yes, it's like most walk or run programs. You know, you sign up, may start a team, get your friends to join your team, and then you go out and I guess technically we call them pledges, but they really aren't. They're donations now, because you can send an email out and, you know, ask your friends to donate, and they just make a click, and then with a credit card or forwarding a check later, they can donate directly. So that's generally how most nonprofit organizations raise their money, through these kind of events.
Yeah. Okay, so all they need to do is go to autismspeaks.ca, or find you, Janet Anderson, and we can put this information on our Facebook page. Is there a Facebook page for Autism Speak that we can link to?
Yes, there is. It's our BC Walk Now page, and I do manage that page. I have some volunteers that work with me year-round on social media as well, and we have a Twitter page, so they're all linked. So there is a Facebook page for Autism Speaks Canada as well, so we'd love you to like us, that's for sure.
Great. You guys are all over social media too, so...
Well, I think that stems from, you know, the chairperson being with NBC. So he's taught us well, very well. And, you know, if I got to tell you that if it wasn't for the volunteers out in the community helping me in particularly, I'm one person. It is a one-person office. And I'd be lost at getting all of this awareness and resources out there. But I do have a lot of people that have been gracious with their time and their money and sponsoring events and all that. I just thank them every day.
So I'd like to have you come back maybe in June. Would that be okay? I know you said you have lots of experts that you can get a hold of. Maybe we can work that out and do another interview later in June.
Yes, I mean, you know, speaking about autism in itself in a more clinical or therapeutic background, I would definitely ask a few or lots. I mean, there's quite a few great people out there that I work with in the community. But yeah, I think that the conversation needs to go deeper and more widespread than I bring to the table, definitely. So I'd love to do that. And June just sounds wonderful.
Well, I was trying to get it close enough to your actual walk in September. So if everyone goes to autismspeaks.ca, or how do we find you on Facebook?
It's under well, I have to guess now, Walk BC, I think Walk Now BC is the Facebook page. And it's primarily there for the walk and all of our community walks, but I do post all of the stuff that comes from Autism Speaks Canada right across our country. So there are resources and updates that I post for a lot of different programs through that Facebook.
Okay. And is there a phone number if they wanted to actually call and check in with your team of operators?
Well, the team of operators in BC would be me. So my phone number is posted. It's on the website, as is my address. It's under staff. So you'll find me under the province of BC, and you're welcome to call that. And you're welcome to call our 1-800 number in Toronto as well. And there's certainly a lot of people available to answer questions.
Great. Thanks for coming on the show, and we will see you again in June.
And thank you for having me. I look forward to it.
Okay, so that was it. So that was the interview of Janet Anderson.
Yeah.
So you can get a hold of her. Now, you were mentioning off the air that you also went over to one of the parents' place that had, what, 12 kids?
Oh, no, I was talking about my a daycare that I had.
Oh, a daycare. Okay.
Where we had...
What was that noise?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it's coming from the computer. Okay. All okay. Right, go on.
Yeah. We had a home daycare, and it one of the mothers had a son that was pretty hard to reach, and he was had autism. And one of the things that the big ways of actually getting through to him to actually get him to communicate with you and things like that was to sit there and play with train sets.
Yes.
And in the end, that we wind up actually having to refer her to another daycare because we had 16 kids, and when one person is solely occupied with one kid, and then the other person has the other 15, it wasn't exactly we weren't prepared for anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in. Through awareness and things like that is like when people are providing daycare and things like that, they become more aware of what the needs are.
Mm-hmm.
for children, it's like, okay, I know that I need to refer you to this person instead of you coming to my daycare because I don't have what it takes, you know. Figuring that out after having a child in your care for a month is way too late to figure out this. Like, oh, I didn't realize it was going to be what it was, and I wasn't able to take care of the child, you know.
Mm.
Ultimately, the most important thing with daycare is keeping the children safe.
Exactly.
So
that's a big daycare for many kids like that.
Yeah.
And especially if one of them is autistic.
Yeah. The lady, she's a wonderful person and everything. Her mm-hmm. children were really great. Otherwise, it's like, you know, it was a real pleasure to have her with us mm-hmm. and to provide care to her children. But you had to admit, it's like... when you don't have everything that a particular child needs.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So we're going to come right back in a moment and do some announcements. This has been, this is the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks and the Hour Show on CITR 101.9 FM, also online at CITR.ca.
Morning After Show started last century with Jeremy Baker and Paul Gullett on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. Oswaldo Perez Cabrera joined in 2001. Van Music has teamed up with Super Cheeto Productions and Ascenda School of Management to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the Morning After Show at the Rickshaw Theater this March 24th with superstars Harabe De Palo and very special guests Los Furios and Caracas. Featuring one of Spain and Latin America's biggest bands, Harabe De Palo, playing their first show in Canada. This night will also feature BC Ska from Los Furios and the Latin punk of East Van band Caracas. The Morning After Show 15th Anniversary Party with Harabe De Palo this Tuesday, March 24th at the Rickshaw Theater. Tickets are $25 and are available at High Life, Neptune, Red Cat, and Zulu.
Late night show is the start of the weekend. We play all types of D&B or jungle for the first half of the show. On the second half of the show, it gives you that irritating noise that you just don't want to hear it. Or it could be some ambient sounds that might drift off and or fall asleep in the moment of life. Or it could be some new age that you just heard on most stations, but even better. Or it could be that this music has no beat or drums in that music. Either way, tune into the Late Night Show, now broadcasting on Saturday mornings at 12:30 a.m. right after the Medicine Show, also hosted by me, DJ Rain, and Jason Lawrence. If you happen to hear us around the world, you can always check us out at CITR.ca.
Stripped down of all their clothes, I'm not sure what you look like anymore. But every cell says I remember you well. But it's been so long since I saw you laugh out loud. And if I could, I'd plow up all the snow tonight. 'Cause something is erupting in the ground underneath. And this cold night leaves me breathless and in doubt. There's a silence and a calm tonight.
Cold Night by Sarah McDougall. I hope I pronounced that right. She's CanCon FenCom on the CITR CITR SAM Pro that we do on the computer. So this is the Community Living Show here on the NCAA Radio Networks and on CITR 101.9 FM. Michael, you have something. Kind of like a document or something.
Yeah, she Janet gave me a list of different walks that they actually have across Canada for this year, starting in Montreal for May 24th, and Ottawa is May 31st.
Capital city.
Yeah.
Capital country.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Waterloo is the same day. London, Ontario, June 21st, as well as Saskatoon and Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting because I thought London was right near Toronto.
No. Well, it's hard to pronounce. It's hard to locate where London, Ontario, and Toronto is.
Yeah. So,
But it's further south.
Yeah.
So okay. Down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I get confused. Sorry, folks.
My granddad used to live in London.
Yeah.
Back in the 1980s, and she visited us twice, so I got a chance to see her.
Yeah. That's good. So Edmonton is September 13th, and then Vancouver is September 27th. Now,
in the fall.
Yeah, in the fall. So you can actually register to be a part of the walks if you go to Walk Now for Autism Speaks.ca.
All in one word.
Yeah, all one word.
So register now and get walking for September.
Yeah. You know.
Yes.
It's a good thing to be aware of what's going on with all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have some upcoming shows in the months to come? Do you have anything lined up?
I do have a few things that I just can't mention right now.
Okay.
Because I'm still waiting for them to confirm. They're part of NDP, so
okay.
So it's like one's looking for an election, and one person used to be a big speaker for NDP. So it's just that I'm still trying to work it out with our friend Kerry when we can actually get them on. Remember Kerry Gibson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a really good friend. She's going to help me get in front of some of those people. And not this weekend, but next weekend is a press release for Strut.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to help gay and lesbian people around the world so that they aren't persecuted for their sexual preferences, you know.
Right.
I think that's a pretty big thing. It's like not killing people because they decide not to be heterosexual or they decide to admit that they're in love with the same sex.
Okay.
That's a pretty good one. But I'm going to try to do is record part of their press release and bring that back so we can listen to part of what some of the speakers had to say. So, yeah.
I'm trying to get a friend of mine who is starting to do a Canadian family festival in 2015 in support. It's called the Canucks. It's part of the Canucks Autism Network 101. The goal is to help people that have, the autism, mostly the support on the support. So they're having a festival that is happening on Sunday, April 12th. And one of my friends, Lindsay Mayo Hong, is part of the support. And I'm hoping that we get a chance to talk to her about what her goals are and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I'm hoping to...
Yeah, definitely, get we should get her in the lineup. It'd be really great if we could get her before April 12th.
Yeah, I'm hoping to, you know, what, you know, she needs to kind of like raise some funding. So that's, you know, all about funding for the Canucks Autism Network, so which will be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And most of these networks, they do a great job of making sure that there's support as well as awareness, you know.
Right. So that's it for our show. We are about 5 minutes ahead of our advanced show. But so that's our next. We have our plan for. So I don't know. Do we have a next week's show? I don't know.
We will have a next week show, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's reasonable enough. We have the half hour show tomorrow. So I'm probably going to be rebroadcasting this show on air. So.
Yeah, because as we were talking off air, it's like I have my video workshop that I do myself out in Port Coquitlam.
That's a long ways away from White Rock.
It's a actually distance. Coming here is further.
Yeah. Oh, really? I thought Coquitlam would be longer.
No, actually coming here is further. I can kind of sneak into Maple Ridge and come around Maple Ridge and into Coquitlam, and it's a little bit closer. But it is, either way, it's quite the drive.
It is quite the drive. Wow. So, yeah. All right.
So that's happening this weekend, and to make sure that people really concentrate on what they need to do for their video. I have to gather up like all the lunches and all that kind of stuff because we don't want people wandering all over the place to go find lunch and then come back again.
Yeah.
And we lost our continuity. But if I keep, if I have somebody come in with food and stuff like that, then it usually works out to be a lot better. So yeah.
All right. See you, Michael.
All right.
And see that's you next it. Week. Yep. So see you next week. We'll come right back. We have a show called The Pack AD and Having You. And again, we'll be back next week. Take care, everybody.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio.
Let's see here, World of Warfare,
God, ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, said, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed back